You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch the Show for Fans, Bar Fans, About Fans. I am Mags, and today's is a bit of a break from the wrestling norm. We're not going to be really talking about wrestling. We're going to be touching on another passion of mine, video games, and I'm going to be talking with two pretty much experts in the field, two of Visionaries Wrestling Network stable mates. Both these guys have podcasts on the topic, so I'm happy to introduce Why We Watch regular. I think he's been here about 14 times altogether. Has every podcast under the sun, Matt Willis, and Chris Talks Games, and Chris Reacts Superstar, Chris Lewis. How are you guys today?
Great, thanks. Really looking forward to this. Be interesting to have a great discussion.
I'm so psyched to be on this show for just the third time, Meg. So I'm the first person to get a hat trick. I'll take that one. That's it.
Absolutely. So, like I said, Chris, you're not a huge wrestling fan, Chris, and it would be quite a waste of your time to be asking you about your history of wrestling. But what you are is an avid gamer. So this question goes out to both of you, answering whichever way you'd like, but what are your guys' first memories of video games?
Right, that's a loaded question for me. My first video game I've been playing would be on the ZX Spectrum, and that was a game called Booty, the pirate game. Pirate platforming game, no less, on the ZX Spectrum, and that, my God, that thing sounded like a modem being tortured. But it's got a special part in mind. It's the first game I remember playing. I always remember the first F1 game on that console, you know, so I had a lot of love for that thing.
My first game memory is kind of a bit of a long story.
Come on.
It was again, it was Christmas, I think, must have been like 6 or 7. I got Mega Drive for Christmas. It was a kind of controversial Christmas. It's kind of, I'm guessing this isn't going to be going out for kids, but it's kind of like the Christmas I found out that Father Christmas wasn't real. But it's kind of like me and my sister kind of faced with little shits that kind of evening. And we'd gone down and opened other presents overnight.
Wow. Yeah.
So we were very young. We were kind of, my sister went like, I was young and impressionable. Went down and said, "Oh, no, Santa's been." And then once it started opening presents, so I was like, "Okay."
Actually, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically, my dad came down and was very, very unhappy. My mum was working night shifts at the time. So she came home to find me and my sister sat kind of next to each other on a sofa with my dad absolutely fuming. So that was interesting.
And your mum's lovely. Yeah. Well, your mum's lovely. I can't imagine she was mad at all.
No, she was like, try not to laugh, I think. That's assuming. Yeah, that was like the year we got the Mega Drive, and it was Mega Drive. We had Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Hang On with it.
That'd be 91 then, wouldn't it? That would have been. But yeah. Same year I got a Spectrum. So just going to show what our parents actually, our dad. My dad didn't really give a damn. I got a Spectrum. I loved that thing. I don't know, I loved the Spectrum. But Chris got the Mega Drive, which was brand new out.
But the way I remembered or kind of realised that Father Christmas wasn't real is because I remembered who the presents were from. And one of the other presents was from Father Christmas one, and that one was from Mum and Dad, and my mum said it was LA round. So it's kind of like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Wow. Yeah,
I think Matt, where you figured this stuff out.
Yeah, so that's where my love affair of Sonic started. that Christmas on that Mega Drive.
Yeah, I think my first memory, the one I can at least like grasp in my mind, is playing on the Atari 2600. So my gaming goes way before your guys. Playing a game called Catapult, where you literally just had to blow up another person's castle. Yeah, really fun times. So I think it would be safe to assume that you two are console gamers rather than PC gamers.
To an extent, I did, on their recording, download a game on PC, which, of course, is a game I love, obviously, Death Trap Dungeon. It's on Steam now. I'm not actually under any sort of... not being paid to say that. I'm not an endorsement for it. But it was one of the best games I played at Eject last year. It's certainly the best indie game I played last year. So the fact is that I have everyone to play, it's great, and it's really good value for money. But I did spend a lot of time back in the day, make fun of saying that, playing a lot of Football Manager on the PC. So that's the extent of my PC, though, Football Manager, basically what I used to play.
I haven't had much PC experience. I've had, my dad had a couple of games on the PC, like a racing game and stuff like that, but nothing too major, really. It has mainly been consoles for me,
Console is definitely where we favour, isn't it,
And I can agree with you on Football Manager as well. That's literally the only game I tend to play on PC. And I actually started that on the Atari ST, when it was actually called Championship Manager.
Yeah, before it was licensed.
So, what are your guys' console history like from the first console you got right up to date? What consoles have you gone through?
Okay, Chris, you want to go first?
You're going to give you time to think.
No, I can think of them all. I'll
go first.
Okay.
I was very much a Sega guy growing up, so started off with Mega Drive. Then moved on to Sega Saturn. Had the option of going for Saturn, PlayStation, or N64, so I opted for Saturn. Then my Saturn, my dad wanted to try and get me a thing of Shining Force 3. It came out last year, the Saturn's life cycle. And it was one of the things I asked for my birthday, and he couldn't find it. So he kind of emailed Sega and got obviously it's quite early internet days, but he got quite a short email back saying, you can get these games and that's about it. So he kind of, that Christmas, ended up getting a PlayStation for Christmas. Then after Saturn, went on to Dreamcast, which personally is, in my opinion, the most underrated console of all time. It's such a great machine, in my opinion. And I think I also picked up a second-hand N64 around then as well. So I got an N64. Then moved on to PlayStation 2. This is very bad. From then, I pretty much had every single console. So I've had Xbox, and then GameCube was the next one I got. Then Xbox 360, and then a PS3. And then I got it was on GameCube, haven't I? Got the Wii when that launched. And then Wii U, then Xbox One, then PlayStation 4. So I pretty much have everything and got everything. And that's without going to the handheld site. So I got my first handheld in 1997, which is the original Game Boy, like the yellow Game Boy. Mm-hmm. It was Super Mario 2, 6 Golden Coins was the game I had with that. Then obviously Game Boy Advance. Another two Game Boy Advance SPs, had the normal flip one, and I had the Tribal Edition as well. And then Nintendo DS. Because I did the Stars catalog back in that day, I actually got an early access to the Nintendo DS. I actually got it about a month before it came out in the UK as well, and got Super Mario 64 with that. And then 3DS, 3DS XL, and then pretty much Switch. So So that pretty much wraps up my my gaming thing. But yeah.
I did have an opportunity to do that to write my list down. And I've had to make notes on top of notes, so I've forgotten some. So thank you, sweetie. Right, okay. Right, so, okay. Now, do you remember a show called Bad Influence?
I certainly do.
Bad Influence. I used to watch that, hoping something for the console I had come up on it. I had a Spectrum at the time, so I didn't nothing. One thing ever came up for the Spectrum on there, and I think 20 Mega Drive and the snares and everything. Anyway, I had to just like live vicariously through other people and things. But my neighbour next door had a Mega Drive and everything, so eventually we did go to get a Mega Drive, and we had the Mega Drive 2, which is, you know, the square one, the red buttons. It was lovely. I loved that thing, and that's where the first game I got for that was Batman Returns.
Oh, that's an awful game.
As broken as the last level was, I had a lot of love for it because it was the first game I played. We also had the EA double header and the European club soccer. It was good, and of course like a Knuckles and everything on that one. And I've talked about the game that I got for consoles on previous episodes of the gaming podcast and Game Junkies, and occasionally we'll guest on Quidditch Show. So I'm just going to blaze on. I jumped from Mega Drive to PS1, so that's quite a jump. And then, because the person mum was seeing at the time, we got a SNES. So I stepped back to the SNES from the PS1, which is a weird way to go. Mm-hmm. And then stepped to the Game Boy Color Yellow Edition, which had a Pikachu version of Pokemon, which is my first bit of Pokemon. And then set the PS2, and then PS2 Slim. Purely got it so I could play online on the wrestling game. I think it would have been SmackDown vs. Raw 2006, where you could play a single one-on-one match or a bra and panties match, which shows the level that wrestling was at the time. And then I set the PS3. Three of them.
Three, you have three of them.
Three PS3s, and they all end up with Red Light of Death.
I've still got my original PS3 now.
And because of that, I refuse to go to PS4, which is unfortunate because I love the PSVR. It's a good thing Chris has got it, to be fair, because I won't buy a PlayStation again. I've lost all faith in the company. But I also, around the same time, I also picked up a classic Xbox, which I still have in the front room, actually. Not plugged in, but I still have it. A GameCube. And a Nintendo DS, which I got while I was coming from surgery. And then when my PS3's finally got the ghost, I gave Xbox 360 a go. Now, granted, I had two 360s, but one of them was because the tray was broken, and to have a new laser for it, it would have cost more than getting a new console. So I just bought a new second-hand console, and it was working fine. I eventually bequeathed it to my sister, and it gave up the ghost only last year. So that had a good innings for a second-hand console. And then I moved to Xbox One. Moved in here. So I've been here about 6 months. So, I mean, 5 years. So about 5 years ago, Xbox wow. One. And I got me Switch last year. So,
yeah, the missus got a Switch at Christmas this year. It's not my cup of tea. I'm surprised that neither of you had any love for the PSP.
I did have one.
Oh, I did have the PSP. I did actually have. I just got the Vita, but I never actually bought a Vita. But I did get to go hands on it at EGX before it came out.
So you had the PSP, but I'd completely forgotten about it, which unfortunately said that, oh, do you know what it was? It was ahead of its time, I think, for what it was trying to be. But now it's also out of date now. It's weird.
Yeah, I actually got a PSP about 3 or 4 months before it actually was released in Britain. I got it from a website called Lixang, which actually then got closed down by Sony a couple of months after. But yeah, for about 6 months, I only had one game with my PSP, Metal Gear Acid. I absolutely loved that game.
Terrible.
No, that's one of my favourite games.
That is the second worst Metal Gear Solid game ever.
No, I'm not having that.
Well, we cannot.
I think you're going to say the worst one's Revenge, is it? Hunter's one.
No.
The worst one's Survive by a long way.
Exactly. Metal Gear Survive's the worst one. Metal Gear Revengeance is not a Metal Gear game. There's no tactical espionage.
It's still a decent game, though, is Metal Gear Revengeance. I enjoyed it.
It's not a Metal Gear Solid game, folks. There's no stealth involved in it at all. No stealth in it at all.
You can try and...
No, you can't.
He dresses
up a robot dressed up in a mariachi outfit. Yeah, that is about as...
Is the robot a Metal Gear Solid series character? Is it Raiden?
It's Raiden. Who is he? He's not the most popular character in the series, to be fair, is he?
He's probably not just the fact that he's a Metal Gear Solid character.
I didn't think that the video games would cause a domestic.
And let's move on, shall we?
Right, so the next question I've got for you is what are your favourite solo games and what are your favourite series of games?
So, like, one-off games and, like, selections? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh, that's a tough
one. There you go, first on that one.
Okay, right, well, with the exception of a recent release, the WWE's series, branching back to the 2000 era, loved every single one of them up until the one that came out last year. FIFA series, I loved that up until last year.
He's asking for your favourite, not all of them.
My favourite one, the one now written down. The F1 series is one I have a lot of love for.
And you got Metal Gear Solid as well, which you got love for.
That is my favourite franchise.
Yeah, same here.
It's my favourite franchise, without a doubt, because the first one was good. And then they updated it to Twin Snake version, which was exclusive to GameCube, and I wish they'd release it elsewhere, even on the Switch. Please bring it back. I love that version of it. Metal Gear Solid 3, which is probably the best game in the series. For story, for music as well. The music in that is amazing. You know, the boss is all good in it, and you have empathy with the boss at the end. Literally, the boss. At the end, it's fantastic. It's got everything in it. It's inventive as well. You have to figure out how to get out of a cell because you think, okay, it's the same trick from the first game? Nope. You can't use the same tricks. It's brilliant. Brilliant. Makes you think twice. I mean, also, Hideo Kojima. I mean, let's face it. When Metal Gear Solid 3 came out, it was a case of, I don't know, a page 3 model with rocket launchers for arms. I don't know. It was the sort of thing he would do. He pretty much did do that a few times, actually, to be fair. Solo games, I think that was Chris Hill, his favourite series.
Favourite series is a tough one for me.
Mm.
In theory, there's one series that probably should win hands down, but because of that consistency, especially in like the last 5-10 years, it's kind of...
Would that be a blue end from the pod?
Yeah. Because I was a Sonic boy growing up. Like, it was all about Sonic. I absolutely loved the games. And there have been some really brilliant games. Like, when they get it right, they do smash out of the park.
Yeah.
But there are a few games recently that haven't quite hit that mark for me. So, in terms of style, in terms of series I enjoy, I probably will go for Sonic. Because there are certain games that I think still hold up, still are great games.
I've proven. You mean you've downloaded onto your Xbox One Sonic & Knuckles, didn't you?
Yeah.
And as a game, I can go back and play countless times.
Yeah, Sonic 3 & Knuckles was amazing, especially at the time, because it's kind of the first time they kind of introduced an ongoing story throughout the two games.
It was great.
And the two other massive standouts for me in that series are Sonic Adventure 2. I know it's not as popular as the original Sonic Adventure, but I think the size, the scale, the story they told in that game was actually really good. It actually felt like a worldwide event. You felt there was big stakes in that. in terms of the game world and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed Sonic Adventure 2 for like the scale of the story and stepping up from what Sonic games had done before.
Yeah.
And Sonic Generations, just the way they melded the classic and the modern. They got the gameplay elements right in both types of gameplay. So yeah, I think because they are standout, I'll still go back and play them. So yeah, I think Sonic does win the series for me. I think Final Fantasy is a close second. Even though it's not a continuous story or continuous characters, it's just like the fact there is like so much different. But yeah, I think Sonic gets it for me.
Sonic Generations, the game I've never played, but it is coming to Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, Games of Gold.
Game of Gold this month. I will be getting that, and I'll be playing it for the first time ever. I'm so excited about a game which is like 10 years old now, probably. I've forgotten how long it is.
So, standalone game for you, man.
Standalone game. Well, I've spent time thinking about this, and I could have picked something crappy like Fortnite, because I've actually won games on it now. I could have picked something like, I don't know, top of my head, Viva Pinata. I could have picked something like that. But it's a game by Rockstar. It's not a GTA game. And it's not Bully.
Oh, that's what I thought was going to be really tired saying that.
Bully is a game I adore, but it's L.A. Noir. L.A. Noir. One of the best games that has ever been made, and I will fight you.
So they re-released it on the Switch last year.
They re-released it on all of them. And when they did re-release it, they fixed some of the problems, because it used to be a case of truth, lie, and unsure, and it didn't work with what Cole was trying to actually get out of many interviews. So he fixed it to something I should do for copyright infringement here. Good cop, bad cop. And I'm like, but that is where we got it from, that idea. So to be fair, that's good. And they with the releases on the Switch and Xbox One and PS4, they fix all those problems. And I'm still amazed that they're able to get a game that huge onto the Switch.
I think it's not all on the cartridge. I think you have to download. So
I'm still amazed they managed to do it in the first place, because it's quite graphically intense, that game. So applaud them for that. But yeah, it's my best solo game.
Ooh. It's a tough one.
And Maddie's loving it. She's just smiling about that.
Depends how classic I go, whether I stay a bit more modern.
While you're thinking, I'll give an honourable mention. I could have gone for Gynog as well.
Gynog.
Gynog is a game on a Mega Drive, which I've sunk a lot of hours to, which you can't, you couldn't say, obviously, because it was back in that era. And basically, you were like an angel flying through like rock quarries and things and like metal bases. Think Flappy Bird, but like old school. Fighting back these as you're going through, sort of thing, of a laser cannon, basically. Me and my sister sunk a lot of time into that one. A lot of time.
Fair enough. Okay, my standalone game is probably Skies of Arcadia. A Dreamcast RPG. I'd love to see it remade. I'd love to see if they did try and carry on the story at all. It was a great concept, like Sky Pirates, and you go around in like flying pirate ships, basically. You go between different islands. It's a lot of fun. The battle system was quite good, how you had to change the different colour gems out to give you different abilities, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Regretfully, I didn't play too much into it, because I think at that time I was because I just started working, so I was getting lots of games. Like, get paid, oh yeah, I can get this game. So I probably didn't give the game the time it deserves. But I was so happy to see the characters and the world come back in Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Because I had like the race course and the advice as well, the characters you could play as. So yeah, I think Skies Arcadia, I think a lot of the Dreamcast era stuff is a bit overlooked, a bit kind of underrated maybe. But it's very much a cult classic, I think. So for a lot of people, like, if you get speaking to people, oh, yeah, that's a great game. So I know they did re-release it on the GameCube. But I think it did overly well on the GameCube, but it was a bit of a shame.
I'm not someone who's ever played that game. We never had a Dreamcast. I've had a little dabble on Dreamcast in the past, but I've got to admit, because it wasn't a console I owned, I didn't get a chance to really explore the library. So it would have been nice to, but... Yeah, so I live vicariously through like remakes and things.
Yeah, I think my kind of honorable mention for that would probably be Trickstyle for the Dreamcast.
Okay.
It's like a hoverboarding racing game. Didn't control really well, wasn't the greatest game, but I think the concept they're going for and like the style and the visual style they're going for, I think that could be, if they remade it today, like proper modern day graphics, it could look phenomenal and they could get the controls a bit more tight. That would be.
Especially with being put with VR as well,
they
possibly could do that.
Well, here's why I claim that. I'm not entirely sure who has the rights for it. I'm not sure if it did come back under a different name, but I'm not too sure about that. So
yeah, I've got to echo a lot of what Matt said. My favourite series is definitely Metal Gear Solid. I don't think. I get the love for Metal Gear Solid 3. It's an amazing game, but my favourite is actually Metal Gear Solid 4. To the point where I actually took time off work so I could sit and play through that game without skipping any cutscenes, all in one go. And I think I've completed that game probably about 30 times altogether to get all that, the badges and stuff like that. So, yeah, that would be my favourite series.
Not by my tongue. I want to come back in, that's all. I have a lot of love for MGS4, in particular Act 4, for obvious reasons. With that, it's been 10 years, guys. No spoiler at this point. You go back to Shadow Island from the first game, and you basically have loads of flashback moments during that. In fact, the loading screen for that is playing the first part of the first level on the Metal Gear Solid 1 graphics, which is fucking awesome.
And then you get the kind of fade in the helicopter where it goes back to PS4 graphics. Yeah, love that part.
Yeah, and when you run over the hill and reach the heliport again, and the music on the iPod, because they actually give an actual iPod license iPod is in the game, it actually comes on. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, and then you go into the little rooms off the side of the heliport, and you get the flashbacks with the cameras.
And the camera falls off the wall at that precise moment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just so many cool things, including the part where you finally pilot Metal Gear Rex yourself.
Mm-hmm. If I were to have an honourable mention for series, I think I'd go with Streets of Rage. I just absolutely love it. It's probably the best side-scrolling beat-em-up series that's ever been made. Solo game. Again, I'm going to go with you, Matt. L.A. Noire. I think it was as close to a perfect game for me that Rockstar put out. I absolutely love that game. Another honourable mention for that, though, is one that you may not have heard of. I think it is quite a cult game, but EA did a game on the Mega Drive called The Immortal. It was kind of a dungeon crawler where you played a wizard. Really, really hard game. But I piled a lot of hours into that game. So, yeah, they'd be definitely my picks. Next question. What's the biggest or the achievement in gaming that you're the most proud of?
That's a good one. Give a mad plenty to edit out of dead air here at this point.
It's tough.
I once did a speed run of Metal Gear Solid 2 and I had one death. Not me, I think only one person died. I literally put everyone else asleep for the entire game because I couldn't find the tranquilizer sniper rifle to take Van Pal when he's got Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So I complete the whole game with one death, and I did it under 2 hours, the whole game. which was an achievement for me. World record of 36 minutes. So I'm like, yeah, that'll do me still. I'm still really proud of that. Even if James did it before I did. I bought the game and he played it before I did. Because I had a thing called work. Right. I'm pretty proud of that, but I don't know if that's the most proudest thing it is. I interviewed Eddie Marsden, who's the speaker of gaming. I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud about my biggest interview ever done. No offense to anyone else I've interviewed out there, but Eddie Marsden's a Hollywood superstar and he takes some beating. So especially seeing how good I was that weekend, that really was amazing. And Eject was amazing in itself. Going to Eject is actually quite a big deal in terms of achievement. I could also say, you know, going to press to Eject Res by the time this comes out, I'll have been already. That's kind of a big deal. To be acknowledged as a member of the press, that's huge.
It is.
Don't want to say his biggest achievement out of that.
Oh! It's like I'll be pimping my nephews. Okay, right. Okay, as proud as I am of the press thing, that is all about me, and that's not fair. Actually, it's kind of sad. But it was once, only once, I played Sonic 1, and I complete the whole game from start to finish with all of the Chaos Emeralds. It's like the perfect ending. One time, and one time only I've ever done that. I'm very proud of that.
Wow, I can nail that literally every time.
I've got frustrated, let's face it. When you have the infinite fingers up, down, left, right, A side together, just go to final zone every time. I never had the time because people would unplug the computer to put in the Hoover back then. I never had the option of playing it through enough.
Wow.
Of course, now you can save them, even on the back of compatible stuff, you can just save on the virtual consoles. So it's not the kids today, you don't know how lucky you have it.
Absolutely not. So, Chris, what's your greatest gaming achievement?
Well, mine apart, no doubt.
Well, no, I'm trying to think, like, gaming-wise, I think getting the perfect ending on Sonic Adventure 2, so I actually unlocked the Green Hill bonus zone. Because Sonic Adventure 2 was originally released as like an anniversary game for Sonic's anniversary. Mm. So I think it was, they included like a, once you got A rank on all the levels, you unlocked like a 3D Green Hill Zone recreation. So actually unlocking that was quite a big achievement for me. Took ages to do. In terms of speedrunning, I think there's one morning before school I managed to get through the whole of Worlds of Illusion before I went to school, so that's about,
oh, I love that game.
It's about an hour and a half.
I think everyone loves, but again, you're a Disney freak, so
yeah, that's probably Disney kind of really took hold, but that's a game that I do think is classic. It's one of the main reasons I bought the Mega Drive Mini, the fact that game's on there. It's still a classic.
Revolution, Call of Illusion, two amazing games.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And in terms of kind of like the gaming industry as a whole, I think actually working or representing Nintendo the last two Ejects has been really cool. Like, it doesn't feel like work. Like, it's a lot of fun. A lot of like-minded people. You get to talk to people about games and show off games that aren't out yet, so...
We talked about it though, actually, didn't we? Ironically, yeah. Didn't we? We talked about how much you love doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So my voice is gone by the end of the second day.
I'd like to say it was bliss, but he can punch harder than I can. So.
Yeah, I think personally, it's probably, I'm quite proud of the fact I managed to represent Nintendo. In terms of actual gaming achievements, it's probably the Sonic Adventure 2 getting like the perfect finish kind of thing. Because this is going to sound really bad, but because especially nowadays where my work life's so busy, I don't always get time to get the whole way through a game.
Been there, unfortunately.
So unfortunately, I do tend to buy a lot of games, but don't necessarily finish them all. So when I do actually manage to get again, completely finished and everything unlocked. It's kind of quite an achievement for me. Like when the Tomb Raider remake came out and I actually completed that, I was like, wow, I've actually completed a game. It was like the first time in quite a while I'd actually done something like that.
Didn't you complete Sword?
I've done Pokemon Sword recently, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's the first time you complete a Pokemon game, you said.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hours sunk into that, to be fair.
Yeah, it's going to make me sound like a bad gamer because I don't see all the games through.
Doesn't make you a bad gamer. Yeah. It makes you a busy gamer.
Yeah,
that's it, exactly. So what games are you guys looking forward to that are coming out in the upcoming months?
Do you believe I actually released a podcast about this bit? But seeing as how 90% of them have been pushed back, pretty sure that this one hasn't been pushed back. On the 3rd of April, Resident Evil 3 remake drops, and if it's half as good, Resident Evil 2 would be the best game of this year. And that's despite Final Fantasy coming out this year, and I will fight you. It is going to be the best game of the year, without a shadow of a doubt.
We'll see.
Resident Evil 2 was phenomenal. Resident Evil 3 Nemesis was better than 2 was back then. So if it goes according to history, this should be right up there. And the gameplay looks amazing. They actually moved to dodge out of the way of zombies now. And the multiplayer mode looks phenomenal.
They are doing a demo of it as well, they've announced. So.
They are. Can't wait for that.
Well, I've literally played through the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo today, and it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. It will take a lot to beat that game.
I own 2 copies of Final Fantasy VII. I've never played it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That hurts me.
Well, I'll download the demo. I'm going to do that tonight when we get home. Get that downloading overnight and hopefully play some tomorrow. So
I did play Final Fantasy 15 though yesterday. My first ever play of Final Fantasy game. My God, that tutorial's long.
They tend to be in Final Fantasy games, but long games anyway.
You know, I think Final Fantasy 7 is, especially in the imminent releases, it's the one I'm looking forward to most. Animal Crossing. Even though I'm looking forward to it, I don't think it's going to... Animal Crossing is a great game, but it's not a hype monster for me, if that makes sense. Because it's quite a game you can't relax in. It's kind of like a relaxing game rather than you play it for the story, stuff like that. So Animal Crossing is like a great time sink, so I'm looking forward to it in that sense. But
looking forward to actually playing it. I've never played one before, so I'm quite excited about playing it.
Yeah, I've never played an Animal Crossing.
But it is meant to be... quite good, and
I've never played a Pokemon.
You look so excited about being able to pole vault over rivers. I'm like, is that a big thing? Is it? I don't know.
You had to bridges to be built, or is there any certain ways you could get around your island?
So it was a big deal. So you know, that's fair. What about you, Meg? Do you think you're looking forward to 5587?
Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy VII for me.
Okay, you named 2, but I didn't find the second one then quickly. Okay.
It is not a competition, Matt.
Yes, it is. It's always someone who just finished playing bowling. Right, okay.
Came last.
Yes. Thank you, Christopher. Hey, you know I'm angry. Right, okay. Well, Cyberpunk, when it finally drops, Cyberpunk is going to be amazing. It is.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I just do not like the first-person shooter that viewpoint, so it's really, really put me off.
Alex touched on that on our episode, looking forward to them. So that's the only sticking point about it, but you never know.
It's kind of like a Mirror's Edge kind of approach to it. Because Mirror's Edge was a first, and it was like an open-world game.
It was. Yeah, there's hopefully some very good games out this year. If we're all disappointed, then it's going to be the worst game for gaming ever. Worst year for gaming ever, definitely.
So you two both have separate podcasts about gaming. What is it that made you want to start recording podcasts about it?
Well, my one is kind of, I'm going to say something which may sound a little bit weird. It actually wasn't about me or the gaming for me. It was about trying to help a friend of mine who had social issues, try and give him more confidence. That's why I started the gaming podcast with Alex originally. It was purely to make him a bit more, because he was so antisocial. He hated people in general. And now, when we flash forward a year to EGX, and he was running up to people and taking selfies, Alex doesn't take selfies with anybody. And he was taking pictures of Mario, Luigi. He got on the stage and played Mario Kart and came second. Wow. Now, that, I mean, to do that itself is insane. Think about Alex. It's insane. And Alex has been literally so gung-ho about Rez. He's the reason why I started doing the game podcast and now Game Junkies. He came up with a name for it. This is literally his baby. I'm very happy to be a part of that. And I've got to. And without me to blow my own trumpet, that's pretty much where Chris... this show started.
Yes. For me, again, podcasting wasn't something I really intended to do, but it's kind of something that's happened and I quite enjoy it. Obviously, I had my YouTube channel. I react to like Nintendo Directs and different trailers, stuff like that. So I do a lot of reaction stuff. Then I met Matt, got talking, and he saw my YouTube stuff. He was like, you should come on our podcast kind of thing. So I think the first one I did with him was the games you're looking forward to in 2019.
It was.
So I got invited onto that. I really enjoyed it. They kind of gave me the bug, and Matt was like, you should try doing this. So I would kind of try doing it, and it's kept on going. So not sure if people actually enjoy what it's about out, but I enjoy doing it. So
you give no bigger credit than Mags. So Mags.
I've listened to every single episode, and I've not heard a bad episode yet.
Wow. And Mags knows what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I feel bad episodes. Like one before Christmas is horrific.
He does give himself a lot of Christmas catch up, but he's not happy with that episode still. But you know, I have said that every now and again, everyone does phone one in, as it were. Everyone's had an episode in their tank where it's happened like that.
And you're always your own biggest critic. I'm forever critiquing the stuff that I put out. So you're always going to... I mean, the way Chris does it is probably the most... I'd say the most terrifying way to record a podcast, because he's talking literally to himself. He's got nobody there to really bounce off. That, to me... Yeah, the monologue. Yeah, exactly. That, to me, is You literally just critique yourself as you're going along. So all props to you, Chris. I think you do a stellar job. My favourite episode of yours is the music of Sonic. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Really, really dived really deep into like the intricacies of the music and how they kind of fit in with the levels and the games. Yeah, I thought that was really, really good work.
And to prove that point, when me and James recorded an episode of What You're Talking About Willis at his work, Chris sat down at the end of the show. It literally last 10 minutes he came and sat down. And James just brought up out of nowhere how much he loved the episode. And that straight away said, right there, it's mentioned without even having to be talked about. That's how good your stuff is.
It brought back nostalgia for like the Mega Drive games and stuff like that. So
yeah, he actually just got the Mega Drive collection and started playing through them. And that's what it does, though. You think about it, like, I've played it for a long time. I'll go and play it tonight. And you do. And it all begins again. But I seem to have this effect on people, I think.
Making people want to record podcasts, yeah.
I never force anybody.
I'm not saying you force, but you're very good at like giving people that bug of wanting to podcast.
Yeah, Alex wasn't keen on the idea at first, and now look at him. You were maybe a one-time thing as a guest on my show, and bang, you now do on more networks than I ever could have dreamt. Of being on myself, Chris obviously as well, Zachary Shiloh obviously was a guest on the Matter Tag, and now he's doing his own thing as well. Love to you, Zachary.
Conrad
was really podcasting beforehand, but yes, he he's definitely doing more podcasting in general. Melissa, inadvertently, because of me being on the Blade job, she now does a lot of podcasting appearances as well. You know, it's... But the bug, it just hits you, the podcasting bug. It does. Because you have stuff to talk about and you need to get it out there somewhere. I know Brian will listen to this and say, Matt, you bloody idiot, or words to that effect. But the fact of the matter is, I need... this is my medium.
It's an outlet. So, out of the episodes of Game Junkies and Chris Talks Games, which are the episodes that you guys are the most proud of?
This is easy for me, so you want to go? What do you want
me to
go?
In terms of my personal, like my podcasts, I think... I quite like the one where I look back at Richard Jacks, the music producer, because I enjoyed looking back and enjoyed putting a spotlight on MSR, Metropolitan Street Racer. Because until I actually did that podcast, I didn't realise how poorly that game sold. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, that can't be right. But
it was.
But yeah, it was like, wow. And so the fact I can put a spotlight on it brings out that music, because... No, a lot of that music could have been quite commercial. It could have easily been out on the charts, out in the clubs that time of when the game came out.
I learned a lot from editing that podcast. I did.
Yeah, so I think Richard Jacks is kind of like, in terms of music, I don't know why, but soundtracks are a big part of gaming for me. Like, if you've got a good soundtrack that goes with the game and it catches your attention, for me, it really helps elevate it.
You need to do a show on some point with some terrible soundtracks on it.
Yeah, which is why I quite like the latest Pokemon, because I think the Pokemon Sword and Shield have great soundtracks.
They do.
But Richard Jacks is someone throughout the decades, really. When I hear his music, it's like, yeah, that's pretty good. And he's someone that stands out to me, and he's the only person that's really done that in the gaming industry for me, in terms of soundtracks. So I think putting a spotlight on him, really, I think, I just enjoy doing it and looking and finding out what music he actually did for games, mm-hmm. and like realising how much of the music I actually did like without realising it was him.
There's some very good songs he did on various different games. I'll admit none of them come to mind right now because it's been a while since they did that podcast. It has been a while, in fairness.
Yeah.
But in terms of episodes of Game Junkies, which I'm most proud of, I could quite easily mention the EGX stuff. I could quite easily. But believe it or not, sometimes the best stuff is the stuff which isn't planned for. Now, this episode is fairly recent, actually. And this episode actually was towards the end of January. This would be where I ended up having, probably not the part I'm talking about, Mags, the part where I ended up having Chris and Alex wet themselves because I couldn't remember the title of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
We end up with Zelda on a horse. Yeah, Zelda on a horse. Me and Alex had plenty of fun with that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you see. I'm so proud of that because that episode was brilliant because the three of us, we work as a team. It just works, but... It's also good because we're not all together all the time. So we do our own thing and we every now and again we do the team up thing and it's nice. But when they team up on me like that, I love it. I mean, I know I act like a complete child when I get something wrong like that, but I tell you what, I absolutely fucking love it. And I love being the butt of the jokes. I do. And that's what I'm proud of. I'm proud of putting out a product that people can laugh at in a good way, not in a bad way. People laugh with it.
Yeah. And that's the best thing you could ask for, really. If people are enjoying your product and enjoying your content, you're doing everything right, I suppose.
And if you don't plan for it and it's funny, naturally funny, then you've done the job.
Yeah, and exactly.
The interviews we did for EGX come a close second because I'm very proud of that on a professional level. But the fact that we were able to put that out, and I literally had no editing to do for that at all. I could just lay around, and I was like, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Yes, yeah, so that's me.
Amazing. Amazing. So, last question I'm going to go with is, what have you guys got coming up in the near future for your content? I know yours, Matt. You've been crowing about it quite a lot recently, but you are press at EGX.
I am press at EGX Res, yes. That is one one small part of it, of course. We've not long released the second part of our Halo review, and we're also reviewing Death Drop Dungeon before we go to Res, which is a game which I loved, as I said, one of the best games of last year. We're reviewing that on the next episode we do, of recording anyway. Not entirely sure what Chris is going to be doing on his next few episodes.
Yeah, it sounds really bad, because Matt's like, oh, you're not even planned it, you're all planned out. I was like, I think you decide the morning what I'm doing, what I'm going to do, and then kind of just like talk through it, so.
He's the one, maybe that is the case, but I'll tell you what, you wouldn't know it, guys, would you? Because he does know what he's talking about. He may not plan it out until the morning of it, but he still knows. He's picking something he knows what he's talking about, and he doesn't blag it like me and Alex do.
Yeah, I could not work like that. I could not record like that. I need to know way in advance what I'm talking about.
Oh, we know what we're talking about, but we just blag it.
The thing with me is I pick up the news as I go, like,
you do.
In the 2 weeks between when I do the shows, I kind of, any news that sticks out, I'll kind of make a note of it and like make sure I know ins and outs of it, so when I'm talking about it.
Be good like that, yeah.
But I think the main thing with me is I talk about subjects I'm interested in.
Helps, definitely.
Because like, I know Matt gave me some of the suggestions and things that you said you'd like to hear about. That's why I got the peripheral idea from my last show, which was like, okay, yeah, it's quite an interesting one to look at.
I learned quite a lot from that, although I'm still a bit bitter he didn't put a power glove in properly, but
yeah, I think that's Tap is one of the more intriguing peripherals, the cardboard box, but
it's bizarre, but it works.
I think for me there is I would like to do some more soundtracks. I would like to move in Nintendo a bit more, but Nintendo have been starting taking a lot of their stuff off YouTube, stuff like that. So in terms of getting the clips to put in, I think it might be more difficult.
It's not straightforward, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I might do more soundtrack-related stuff. Might look at other game series, because we did the Sonic deep dive, breaking that into different pieces. So might look back at different games. Maybe look at the Mario Kart series, stuff like that, I think. Because I know that's a series I've played quite a lot growing up. So, I might look at the kind of Mario Kart series and, like, other bits like that. But
it's food which everyone can relate to.
Yeah, so I've still got a few bits to work through. And obviously got the other suggestions that you sent to Matt. So I can see what I can do around those as well, maybe. Yeah, so, yeah. So yeah, for me, it's kind of like I don't always know what I'm doing, but that's partly to my detriment. That's why I think my Christmas catch-up one was so awful, because I literally had no planning and just kind of just press record and just rambled. So like that's why I think it's so bad, because I know I jumped all over the place in the subject matter, went backwards and forwards to different things. Mm. It's just like, when I was asked Matt, that was bad, wasn't it? And he didn't give me a straight answer. I was like, yeah, it's not my best.
Well, as his producer and editor, it's my job to keep my talent happy. And this isn't the most politically correct answer I've ever given in my life. Sometimes you have to look at the good stuff. And sometimes, I mean, you know me, I could see the silver lining in a mushroom cloud. So, it wasn't that bad. I've heard worse.
And could probably produce worse.
Nothing on that matter, Meg. Thank you. had a few ropey Matt attacks in the past.
We've all had ropey podcasts, Jesus Christ. I listen back to my early ones and, oh, they make me cringe.
Once you get a hang of it, you're fine, isn't it?
It is. Thank you so much for this, guys. I really, really do appreciate it. It's been amazing to sit here and chat video games. It's not something I generally get a chance to do, and yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. Let everybody know where they can hear your content, where they can see your content, where they can find you on social media.
Chris, yours is faster.
Yeah, basically, the easy way to find me is probably through my Twitter, which is at ChrisLewis37. My YouTube channel is called Chris Reacts, but upon search, I have found there are several Chris Reacts, so I don't often come up amongst the top searches. So literally, the best thing to do is go through my Twitter. All my links to my videos are there. My podcast, I'll share the podcast links on there. So in terms of hearing content for me, Twitter is probably the easiest way to find it and listen to it. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And as I say, it's been a pleasure doing the chat. I actually really enjoyed it. Some interesting questions, some really good questions. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Magnificent professional nowadays. That's great. Now, I'm actually giving you different information for the first time ever, probably on a podcast. You can find me, yes, at matt.uk. You can find Game Junkies at Game Junkies Pod. That's Junkies with a Z or a Z if you're American. Pod at the end. You can find my co-host, Alex, at Spiderbread UK. He changed it recently to try and fit in with me. Go figure. So, but I shared it with someone earlier. They said, that is the most awesome youth name ever. I'm like, but you didn't think mine. Never mind. I'll do her at EGX. But yeah, you can find all the gaming stuff through there, and you can find everything else through Matt Attack UK. Mags, thank you so much for having us on this show. Thank you so much.
The pleasure has been absolutely all mine. As a wrestling based podcast, like I said, it's not often I get to sit and talk with video games with people, and yeah, I've enjoyed the hell out of this. Thank you very, very much to both of you for doing this. You can follow me on Twitter if you so desire, at DJ Kirby. You can follow this show at Why We Watch Pod. All our podcasts are all available on Visionaries Wrestling Network, which you can follow at this WrestleNet. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being amazing guests, and that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.